Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
If you missed us talking about the Moravians, they are a special seed for this nation.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about VFN Kingdom Business. We're building it around the understanding of the Moravians. And it's time for us to get busy about the Father's business. And the Father's business, God, the Father's business, authority that we have to do this is through his Son and in the name of Jesus. And as he was sent, Jesus sent us to do what he did and even greater things than he's done. And, you know, I think quite often you see people trying to go backwards at trying to change a nation where, you know, let's first win it over politically and then let's try to get everybody to be Christians. Versus, you know, you win a nation by winning a nation's heart, you know, by sharing with them the love of God and, you know, the word evangelism, you know, going out and having a testimony, knowing Jesus, spending time with them so that when you are with them, people go, this man, this woman's been with Jesus.
That's right.
And the Lord loves them, and he will work with you confirming, you know, your witness to this particular person, and they become a believer, and they just may happen to be a senator. They may happen to be a school board member. They may happen to be a business owner that shifts that entire business, that shifts that corporation, that shifts that school board or that county or that state. But it seems that the church has turned towards, you know, the opposite way of doing that.
Laws that try to, you know, laws basically control behavior. And so the laws have a penalty. If you break the law, then the consequences causes people that, you know, act a certain way or don't, you know, don't do certain things. And so if we're going to have a Christian nation, not because we have behavior modification, but we'll have a Christian nation because people that are Christians in this nation, you know, they're growing and there's more of them. And so we can't control behavior. What we can do, you know, is help people transform their hearts. You know, talk to them about a king.
Well, people aren't a Christian because you say, you're going to be a Christian.
Yeah. And you're going to live by these Christian principles.
Does that work? Does that work?
No, no.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Inside joke. So we cannot look at America and say, you're a Christian nation. You know, there was one particular man, I'm not going to bring up his name right now, but, you know, he has a very aloof father and unresponsive, doesn't communicate. I'm sure none of you guys have a father like that. They have lockjaw. It's almost like men have lockjaw. It's like unmanly to be able to say things like, I care about you. I love you. God has good things in store for you, whatever. So all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, his father says something. He says, you know, this is years ago. His father says, you know, I love you. And so the son says,
did he pass out?
No, the son says, well, act like it. Yeah. Right. And the thing about it is, if we truly love God, if we're a Christian, that Christian nation means we love God. We've accepted Christian stands for Christ follower. So it's, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, which means we follow Christ. We don't look like a Christian nation. We don't act like a Christian nation. And it's the church that doesn't look like it. I mean, we're looking at an article before we came on the air today that a church in Taiwan's building, they're building to look like a woman's shoe, right?
It's already built, yes.
It's a woman's shoe. Maybe you can see this thing.
To attract the women to the church. And crazy. This is crazy times we're living in. And it's just unbelievable.
You have it? Take a look at that. You got to see this. This is not becoming a Christian nation. This is the opposite way of doing that thing. Take a look at this.
云馆处长 7号 受访时首次对外表示, 保证农历春节前开放参观, 将成为嘉义沿海春节的新的。
So you look at the church. And look at this. The church building is built like a woman's shoe. I mean, think about this.
That's what.
But the whole thing is that, you know, we're worried about the outside of the cup instead of the inside of the cup. That is so irrelevant.
Completely.
The outside of our lives, the outside of our existence, the outside of our homes. And look at this, a crystal shoe to be able to attract women. By the way, that concept has been marketed by America.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, just like you've heard quite often on our program that the church came to America to become an enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And building like it is not acting like it. I mean, how many fathers, you know, say, I'm providing for you. You can pull that down. That, you know, a father says, you know, I'm providing for you. And they're rude and they're cocky and they're short and all this kind of stuff. But they're not loving. They're not kind.
Mm.
And he's just saying, listen, I built you a glass zipper. You know, you got a glass zipper over your head. You know, I'll drive you around.
Yeah.
Rawr. And but the children and the wives are going like, we don't feel love. We just don't feel love.
Yeah.
And that's the church in America. It's like, you know, we're building things. Let me build you something. I remember we're doing walking out the Malachi mandate with the prophecy, going in the wilderness with hundreds of times thousands of fathers and sons and fatherless sons and mentors. People would always show up. And what they wanted to do, that it was helping us, they wanted to manage what we had.
Yeah.
But nobody in America, what people struggle with is how to add to what is there.
Oh, yeah. Can I come teach? Can I?
Yeah,
no,
right.
No,
I need
no,
to tell
no,
all your. No. So we had one particular man that we, he said he wanted to help out. And we had like 70 leaders at a time. It took 70 to be able to do it. And he was going to be over the mentors.
Mm.
And his job was going to be able to help coordinate the mentors and that type of thing. So basically,
we've done this over 10 years. So
yeah,
we've had different people who've held this position. So,
oh, yeah. So it's not you. Or maybe it could have been. I don't know. More said no than yes. This particular person said yes.
Yeah, it's true.
Just didn't know what he was saying yes to. And so he said, you know, just gather them all together and I'll talk to them. And I was like, no, first you got to go find these mentors.
Yeah.
You know, we had to get, you know, 250 mentors or something for these boys.
Late night calls.
Late nights, looking over rap sheets and all these different things. Like, oh. Yeah, this is not that bad, you know. and God's called us to add to affect other people's lives. And we bought into a mindset in America, you know, we need to be like, you know, Mike and his wife, you know, over in Africa, where they're going, I'm going to go impact these kids. And imagine how powerful it is. You know, I was just talking to a particular Chinese missionary just before the program today, and you know, they ran all the foreigners basically out of China, and they're not letting them teach there now.
Oh.
And but he's not worried about it. You know why? Because he poured his life into the students and the young people and raised them up to be teachers.
Mm.
That's the thing. We have to pour our lives out into other people's lives. It's not about us. If our life ends and we never built a relationship, we never connected with anyone, we were abrasive to everyone, and we wouldn't let anybody connect, we wouldn't let the egg of possibility just seize up against the womb of opportunity to be able to do what God wanted to do. We just kind of kept it focused on ourselves. And that's where America is today. When you think about it, I mean, that it's almost like, you know, it's a spirit of abortion over any possible birth of anything.
Mm.
And over how many abortions since
50 plus million.
Abortion. But it's like everything that if it were. This is probably it. This is it. When it's about other people, John, that means I get left out.
Mm.
People aren't patting me on the back all the time.
Yeah.
I may spend my whole life, you know, of waiting like the Moravian missionaries for my reward in heaven, but I won't get it here on earth. And very few people are willing to live for delayed gratification in heaven. They want everything now. And Jesus says, the Word of God says that if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. Everything you're going to get is going to be now. But the ones who are willing to lay down your life, there's nothing more important than to do the best you can of raising a family that loves God. I mean, it's their choice what they're going to do, how you do it, but at least give them the opportunity.
And give them the chance.
Give them the chance or to affect a community, affect a company, or go and affect other children like this couple in Africa. These orphaned in a difficult land. And it's like, you know what? We have to be willing to do that. The Moravians' mission statement was this, and this is our mission statement for VFN Kingdom Business, was in the essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love.
Mm.
And there are some things, it has to happen. But there's a lot of things we've added to the church, in America especially, that's being exported. We're now in China. Is it
Taiwan.
Taiwan, I meant. that's not happening.
No.
They're breaking crosses off churches in China. But in Taiwan, that's an exported American concept. I mean, if you trace that back, that's the DNA of a crystal cathedral in some place that somebody thought they had to be able to have, where they're spending $1.3 million for a church plant somewhere, or $1.3 million per baptized believer.
Believer, yeah.
And millions of dollars for a church plant. And so somebody like these Moravians, they would go looking at America and they think, well, I can't be a missionary. I can't do anything for God. I don't have $1.3 million. What if two people get baptized? Mm. That's $2.6 million.
That's right.
And it's just not true. It's just not true.
We'll be right back.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
The Victorian era, from 1819 through 1901, a time of flourishing for the British Empire, the spread of political movements, explorations, and certainly an increase in literature, in journalism, and a deep interest in the Bible, what one acknowledged scholar describes as a people of one book.
Even with many texts available to them, the Bible had a dominant presence in discussion and debate, even phrases from the Bible becoming parts of common speech.
People like Quaker prison reformer Elizabeth Fry, nurse Florence Nightingale, Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon, Jewish authors, even the agnostic scientist T.H. Huxley were, as one scholar described, preoccupied with the Bible. Today, it's an era associated with the Protestant work ethic, family values, and institutional faith.
Let's start a new conversation about the Bible.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs 21:20. Today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs 21:20. It says, "All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart." Think about it. Proverbs 21:2. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord, think about it, the Lord weighs the heart. Imagine if you're in a grocery store and you're back and you're buying some beef or something or some fish, and they tell you, well, it's $2 a pound, whatever. And they take that, they don't take your word, you don't just go, okay. They take it and they put it on a scale, and they weigh it out to find out if what you're saying is true. Uh-huh. And the weight of that fish or that meat says whether what you said was right or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're weighing the product. Or if you say somebody's going to sell you an ounce of gold, think about it. That you just don't go, hey, thanks. You know, you say, well, let's just weigh that. Let's weigh it, right? Because it needs to be an ounce, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at it, that God weighs our heart. You know, it's like you can say all the things you want to, but think about this, that then when you're finished saying, God takes your heart and puts it on the Holy Spirit scale to find out what we're really made out of. I mean, that alone, I mean, we should live our life understanding the issues of life flow from our heart, but so many people don't even think about the inside. They try to live about the outside and say, listen, it's the intentions of your heart. It's the attitudes of your heart. It's important what your heart is feeling when you're doing or not doing what you're doing. And God's telling us here, every way seems right to man, but God weighs the heart. And because of this, we have to understand that we're totally dependent on God. There's, you know what I'm saying? It's just total dependency on God. We have to humble ourselves. And, you know, humility, the definition of humility, according to the Ungers, I believe it is total dependency on God and respect for other people. Think about it. Total dependency on God and respect for other people. We're just dependent on Him. That's why you can't get prideful. You can't get all cocky and all this kind of stuff, because you understand that, you know, God's going to keep you, and He's weighing your heart constantly. And, you know, and the heart is deceitfully above all things. You're just totally dependent on the mercy and the grace of God. And listen, no matter what, God, understand that when you say it is an ounce of gold, when you say it is 2 pounds of fish, when you say it is 2 pounds of meat, it's cool. But God is going to take that heart that said that, and He's going to put it on a scale. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That's huge. So you think about it. God says, listen, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things, but one way in regards to this, it means is, hey, you know, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I desire to do, and I'm depending on God for this to happen. But you know what? It's always 4:15, right?
That's right.
James 4:15. This is what you used to say. If it's in God's will, this will happen, or that'll happen. Or I'll do here, I'll go there. And we always say, and Pat just reminded me of the day that what time is it? It's always 4:15. And people don't like that, because they want their will to come to pass, or they want it to happen how they perceive it would happen. But the truth is, it's always 4:15, James 4:15. But so God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And He says, humble yourself. Peter says, humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and He'll lift you up. Listen, when you understand God's way in your heart, it's amazing to me the stance people take.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why would you want to take that stance? Don't you understand God's watching this?
Right.
Don't you know that we wrestle against we don't wrestle against people, flesh and blood, we wrestle against spiritual things. And so how you position yourself with people is very important, in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to weigh that puppy out. You know, that puppy's going to put on the scale, and it's going to be weighed. That should put a fear of God in all of us to say, you know, I want my motives to be pure. I want just to kind of go with what God wants, you know. And so it's very important then that we don't become overconfident in ourselves. Our confidence should be in Christ in us. Our boldness is not that we're bold. It's the fact that Christ in us gives us a boldness for Him. And Jesus tells us, He says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And think about this, that it's okay to say, you know what? I'm aware that every way that I go seems right to me, because that's what He says. He says, all man's ways seem right to Him. But the truth is, our Lord is going to weigh our heart. He's going to weigh our motives, our intentions, and all those different things. And that alone should cause us to go, you know what, God? I'll just be merciful to others who don't understand this. I will be graceful to other people. I'll be just merciful. It's just, you got it, God.
All right.
You got it, Lord. It's I know you're going to put this thing on a scale, and you're going to weigh it. Mm. And just because it seems right to you, be open to the fact it ain't right.
Right. Mm.
Be open to that. It shocks people.
Yeah.
Just be open that God's bigger than your thought life. He's bigger than your experience. He's bigger than what your plans are. And at any moment, even though He told you to go kill the lad at the top of Mount Moriah, don't do it if He tells you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're totally dependent on Him. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 21. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart.
We'll be right back.
The world's waiting for a hope. They're waiting for another conversation that only you and your assignment can provide. Daniel was just faithful to his assignment, and he kept getting called before the kings. They remembered him from generation to generation and said, wait, there's one man who can solve this problem. And I believe that God's releasing people into their assignment. And in their assignment, there's going to be people who hear the whisper of their name, and you're going to find yourself called into places. Maybe you're just a barista, and all of a sudden the head of the whole coffee company comes in and goes, I need to talk to you. I've heard some things that you've done here. And you're like, am I in trouble? No, it's actually the opposite. We're in trouble. We need you right now. I'm hearing these scenarios all over the world right now where Christians are being placed to solve problems and to cure confusion. And it's not just in one genre or area. The beautiful thing about the kingdom is it works in all aspects of life. It's not just like the easy parts of life. It's the hard parts of life. That's when Christianity shines. That's when we're a light, is the hard parts of life. There's two options, and all of a sudden we bring another option. There's no answers. Everything's exhausted, and all of a sudden we show up, and it's like, because we showed up, like when Jesus showed up, another option's presented, and people are like, how is God this good?
We spend our whole lives searching for meaning and direction, for something that makes sense. The Bible is supposed to offer that clarity. Is that how it works, though? Because if the Bible is that enlightening, why do so few people spend so little time in it? Maybe we're missing something. Sure, the Bible is the story of God, but it's also our story. If we take God out of the Bible, there is no Bible. But if we take people out of the Bible, there isn't a Bible either. The Bible is our story, with God in the middle of it, as He has always been. Maybe things are about to change. Maybe direction and clarity can actually be found. You can go through the whole Bible using the time you could otherwise waste, and you'll be among friends. That might just change everything. Look in the mirror. Remember today, because time in the scriptures are going to start shifting things. In a month, you're going to realize that you're not alone. Look back in the mirror in a year, and you'll realize that the Bible has changed the way you look at just about everything. It'll be like coming home. The search is over.
I'm so mad at you. Well, this is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and if you've said those kind of words, then listen to conflict resolution expert Ken Sandy. He suggests you have a little talk with yourself.
If you can develop the habit of detecting anger early on and sort of step back from it, so you know, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? Talking to yourself, bringing actually the reasoning capacity God's given to us to bear is a huge help in dealing with anger. The other common one is to find something else to do for just a little while to get your mind off of it. And when you do come back to it, it's amazing how much that the intensity of that emotional feeling will drop down, again, giving us the ability to deal with it rationally.
Take a deep breath and be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. For more trusted relationship wisdom from Ken Sandy, tune in right now to FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
The wisdom moment today is from Proverbs 22, verse 22 through 23. It reads, "Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court. For the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them." You think about it. A generation that forgets the poor has forgotten God. When we lose God's perspective on those who lack or are in need, we lose our perspective of Him, His heart, His defense of the poor. I mean, you think about this in manufacturing. I used to think years ago that those who sought out how our clothes and our products were made are just trying to stir up trouble. Mm-hmm. But once I saw how some of the products and the clothing was made so we can get good pricing, and how the business owners and corporations exploited the poor in their company's name to get this profit, I realized
that they're doing God's work. They're doing God's work, no matter their motives. Mm-hmm. If they reveal that we are a nation, as a nation, are exploiting the poor, it helps us as believers to respond accordingly. I mean, you think about it. Yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of time to kind of stay, but understand that God takes the case of the poor. I mean, you think about the poor and going to court. In America, one of these evidence that we are a Judeo-Christian nation is that we tell everybody in America, you have a right to a lawyer, and if you can't afford one, we will appoint one to represent you. Think about it. We read everyone there that's arrested what we call the Miranda warnings. This is what we tell them. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be appointed to represent you before questioning you if you wish. Do you understand these rights that are read to you? I mean, you think, as a law enforcement officer, I used to think, this is really getting in the way. Mm-hmm. Then as I became a believer and I got saved when I was in law enforcement, I realized, hey, this is God's work.
That's right.
Just because they don't have money doesn't mean they don't have rights. And more so, since it's a Judeo-Christian nation, that we should be able to stand up and say, listen, hold on a minute. We'll give you an attorney. We want an attorney to represent you in the courts. That's God's business. It's so important it's so important to God how we treat the poor and the needy, that if we don't treat them well and lend to them and help empower them and ensure that they get justice and refuse to exploit them, that God himself will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Justice.
That's why we as Christians should be very careful what's happening with the medical insurance stuff that's going on in America, because if there's somebody not being cared for, we need to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
So when we see a corporation or a business, for example, get sued in courts for making their money off harming someone or someone who's become a victim of their exploitative practices, and a major judgment is placed against them for millions of dollars, which will be distributed to that particular victim, you define that as them being plundered. Mm. You're plundering that corporation. If they have exploited the poor, making their money off plundering those who are in need, it can very well be the Lord himself that is behind their corporations being plundered as he takes up their case. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 22:22-23. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.